I can say this, you know, Cleveland's taught me a lot. That's for sure.
I wasn't trying to tip it. I was trying to pick it.
Yeah. What's up, Dog Pound? Welcome to Inside the Cleveland Browns. I'm Nathan Zagura, joined as always by Miss Sarah Carnes here, and we're coming to you from the bustling offices at the Browns headquarters in Berea.
That's right. The Browns might not have pulled out a victory on Sunday against Houston, but they were very successful in honoring the military during their salute to service game, including an honor roll full of service members representing all branches of the United States Armed Forces.
It was a great tribute to be a part of, that's for sure. But the big news this week right here in Berea is, of course, the return of the NFL's leading receiver from a year ago, Mr. Josh Gordon. Caught up with a few of the Browns players in the locker room to discuss his very anticipated reinstatement.
He's a dynamic player, I think. So the difference is you add an incredible playmaker to an offense. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL. And, you know, he hasn't even touched the brink of his potential yet. You know, so that's just exciting in itself.
You put a guy out there like Josh, I mean, the defense has to respect him. And I think, anytime you have a threat like that, it definitely helps out the offense.
I'm already excited that he's back, man. It was just good to have him in the meeting room and just having his presence there. And I know what he can do, the leading receiver in the league last year. So it's just going to be good to learn a lot from him. So I'm excited.
Well, I think we are all ready for the Pro Bowler to return.
Oh,
yes. Atlanta is going to be a great game. And you got an exclusive with Josh Gordon, right?
About his return. Yes, I did. Got to sit down with Mr. Gordon and talk to him about his time off, what it means to be back, and what he sees happening when he returns to the field.
Josh, first of all, welcome back. How did it feel to be out there today?
It was great. Great to be in the environment again and around the team and the coaches and get going and get some routes under my belt and knock off the rust.
What have you been thinking about, you know, kind of the last 10, 11 weeks? I know you had this date, I'm sure, circled as soon as you found out when you were able to come back. What's been going through your mind in that time away?
Really just getting my body right to withstand, the beating and just being out there in a football, NFL environment, you know, just being prepared for it physically as well as mentally, just being thrown back into the fire. You got to be ready to go and pick back up where I left off.
Did it kind of make things mean more to you, knowing you had kind of this long time away, missing it, seeing the team? You know, has this kind of put football in perspective to you?
Well, I think football's always been a good perspective for me. Having been taken away for a little bit, you know, it makes it a little bit sweeter to come back to it, you know. But, you work a little bit harder, you know, you appreciate it a little bit more. But there's no love that I have like football, so it couldn't replace anything.
What are your expectations for yourself this week against Atlanta and really over the final six games?
Just work as hard as I can and try to contribute as much as possible. Like whichever capacity they have me to fill, whichever void that is that we don't have in our offense right now, I'm going to try to accomplish that and do it to the best of my ability.
What have your thoughts been about the offense since you got to watch it for a little bit over the first 10 games? Look like an offense you're excited to be a part of?
Oh, definitely. They've been taking it off by storm for the past couple weeks. They've been doing real good. I'm real proud of the offense. The defense playing tremendous. Surprised, I think, a lot of people, you know, to see us where we are right now, but I knew we could always do it.
Physically, how do you feel, and how much do you think you can take on playing right away?
Oh, I think I could start and go in and do as much as they need me to do. I could probably play every down if I had to. But I'm just trying to get in there easy, whichever asset they need me to be. Because the offense is doing great right now. If they want me to come in third downs, whatever, the easiest transition for me to get back onto the game, then that's what I'll do.
I'll tell you what, the Dog Pound has been incredibly supportive of you. Everybody today that we talked on the radio show, thrilled to have you back at work. If you could say one thing to them about yourself right now, about Josh Gordon, what would it be?
Right now to them? Well, I could say this, Cleveland's taught me a lot, that's for sure. Some of the fans that stuck with me, much appreciated. I appreciate you guys. Other fans have reasons, not to feel that way. But hopefully we could do that. We could change that perspective about me. And you could expect the best from me these past 6 weeks, that's for sure.
It's just so great to see Josh Gordon back in the building, back in action, ready to practice and go against the Falcons this Sunday. He's going to add so much to this team, Sarah. Help quarterback Brian Hoyer, help the other receivers, help the running game. He's going to do it all. And we'll be back to help you with more ICB right after this. Coming up next, Joe Hayden recaps his first interception of the season.
When you're a DB, the thing that you want is to be able to see the ball released.
Greco and Betonio take on an Iron Chef.
I didn't want to overspice it, though, with the cayenne.
And Spencer Lanning gets blitzed.
I could have any teammate as a roommate. It would be...
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Joe Hayden had his first pick of the season, and we got him on the field to walk us through that play and look ahead to Atlanta.
Joe, long time coming. You've had your hand on a lot of balls. We've got your first interception of the year against the Houston Texans there. Mm-hmm. Talk about what happened on that play, because you basically covered the entire field. You started off on the left side of the formation against DeAndre Hopkins. What kind of a coverage were you guys in there?
We were in a man single high coverage, and we actually were running so fast, they were just up-tempoing it. So I just knew I had my man. I had to play off and just play good eye discipline. He ran an over route, and I saw the ball coming from wild. I got to play it because I saw the ball when he released it. So I was running with him, and it was a similar play like when Antonio Brown in the end zone, and I got to jump up and knock the ball down. The thing was with this one, I was like, you know what? I have to get the interception. I'm going to try to jump over this dude and give him make the pick. So I got – was able to time my jump because
you were kind of like right behind him, so he was like right here.
When you're right behind him, and you see when you see the ball in the air, the best thing is when you're a DB, the thing that you want is to be able to see the ball released at like the same time as the receiver.
Sure.
So I kind of felt like on those plays, you can turn into the receiver. So okay. I'm running for it, and I just feel like I was ready. I saw him in front of me, and I knew if I just timed my jump, I'd be able to try to jump over his head.
So you jumped over his head, you got it up in the air, and then he still had to make the play.
Yeah.
Once you saw it in the air, did you know you were going to get it once you got the first tip?
But for the first tip, I wasn't trying to tip it. I was trying to pick
catch it. Yeah.
So then when I went over and I seen that flipped in the air, then I was like, all right, just catch the ball.
Just
catch the ball.
And I liked it too, and then he got up and tried to knock it out of your head.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, I don't
whatever,
care.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
It's
ref keeps blowing the whistle.
Yeah, and that was an interesting play, though, because you don't often see two corners convergent, because Buster was trying to chase it down from underneath, and then you had him over the top. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good one. Buster was like, I should have tipped it to him. I was like, but I knew you
You're like, I already did that.
I already
did that once this year for Dante, yes. Yeah. So good interception there. Obviously, you guys did a good job against the receivers in this game. They ran the ball pretty effectively.
Yeah.
But you got another tall test coming up in Atlanta next week. Julio Jones and Roddy White, one of the best tandems in the league. What kind of challenges do they present?
Big challenges, and especially they have a great quarterback in Matt Ryan that can make all the throws, and he's a really, really good quarterback. I think with Julio, he's big, strong, fast. I mean, I played him back in Alabama when I was at Florida. He's one of the best with him and AJ, you know. So it's going to be a big test for us, but we're ready for it.
Well, if you treat him like you treat AJ Green, things will be just fine on Sunday. Now, speaking of big receivers, we get one back, Josh Gordon. What does he mean to this offense and this team?
I mean, it's just having somebody like him is just a big, deep, vertical threat. You know, like an AJ, like a Calvin, you can't really replace them with one player. I mean, our wide receivers now are doing a really good job of catching the ball and getting open. But with somebody in Josh's caliber, just being able to get vertical, and you can't just put one corner on them. You have to make sure that you got the safety leaning over to that way. So it makes sure that you can't have you can't stack your box.
Right, so that's going to help the Browns run game
definitely.
As well. And hopefully we'll be making plays when you guys get back to work against the Atlanta Falcons. Thanks
definitely.
So much, Jeff.
Thank you.
Now, Joe Hayden's playing as well as any cornerback in the NFL, taking on the top receivers week after week, and we'll have another tough test with Julio Jones this week, but it sure was good to see him finally get that first interception. I know it meant a lot to him. Now, when the Browns do travel to Atlanta, they will not be traveling with Ben Tate. The team released him this week, so that means at running back, you're going to have Terrence West and Georgia native guy going home, Isaiah Crowell, this week, and look for Glenn Winston, an undrafted free agent that Ray Farmer likes a lot, to also get some run in the backfield with Tate now gone.
Now, you've seen Buster and Hayden pretend they know how to play Jenga, Craig dominate Billy, and Phil Taylor and Jim Leonard play mind games while playing Connect Four. But you've never seen a player one-on-one competition quite like this.
Let's get it all riled up for Michael Simon and Carla Hall.
Please welcome from the Cleveland Browns, Mr. John Greco. And Mr. Joel Betonio.
It was fun to be up here. I mean, these guys are great chefs, and kind of being in their shoes for a little bit. It's tough to be up here and cooking and thinking on your feet. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just like, all right, do what she says. Don't mess up. So it was a great time, though.
So you're gonna let the players cook, or you're just going to do all the work?
Dude, did you see? He put together the whole – I even let him play with a knife. That's how confident I was in his abilities, watching the stake.
It is fun, especially when there's a time clock on it. But it was just a cool opportunity. Happy I got to do it with Joel and meet Michael and Carla. It was a lot of fun.
You notice the chef tastes everything before it goes to the plate.
My hands are slippery.
Let Carla do it.
Maybe. I need that.
This is one of those great moments.
This is definitely a YouTube moment.
Yeah, I have butter on my hand or something like that, so it was really slippery. And my finger's a little beat up from playing in football, so it kind of hurt to open it. And she's very strong.
Three, two, one. Put down the...
We didn't have five like plates here.
Joel, you have five plates. It's just that some are empty.
His griddled onions were a lot of the judges' favorite ingredients. So, you know, he might have a future in this. Maybe, you know, as I'm getting a little older now, I'm slowing down. Maybe I could bring him in. One of the, you know, could be his next career. He could be the chef at Lola.
You said that it was a spicy steak. It was supposed to have a little bit of spiciness to it.
Yeah.
That was my fault, probably.
Okay. All right.
I think I need to put a little more seasoning on my meat so the judges don't yell at me for that. But I did season it. I didn't want to over-spice it, though, with the cayenne, so I was kind of being careful with that.
Chef Simon is the winner.
As a lifelong Clevelander and huge Cleveland Browns fan, I mean, to get to sit and cook with some of the Browns, even though they're the same age as my son now, it's still like a childhood dream to be able to hang out with these guys, have a little bit of fun on stage, and we won. So it makes it even better.
Now, Joel Bitonio, pretty impressive for a rookie, but all he had to do was open that bottle, and he probably could have come away with the win there, Sarah.
I know. I don't know. That sounded like an excuse to me.
We'll see. Those big fellas got to eat, though, right?
That's right. We'll be right back with more ICB.
Stay tuned for a Play 60 celebration.
Game time! Game time!
Spencer Lanning's Browns Blitz.
And I kept getting flack from the security around the stadium. They wouldn't let me through checkpoints.
And our baby reporter takes on Baby Hawk.
If you could have any pet, what would it be?
Welcome back to ICB. The Cleveland Browns visited Central Middle School in Euclid to celebrate students with the highest participation in the Fall Play 60 Challenge, and the kids enjoyed every playful minute.
It's always fun, especially since this school did a great job with the whole Play 60 movement, and they were the winner in this area. Having logged most minutes. So they were all excited that they, you know, had this great accomplishment for them and for us to come out here and recognize them and all their hard work and everything. It was great.
When the kids found out we won, the first thing they asked, what players are coming? Who's going to show up? But when they come out, what they did today was outstanding. Just the players took control of it. The kids responded to what they did. And I hopefully the players had fun today. It seemed like they had fun, so it worked out really well.
It's important because you need kids to maintain a level of physical fitness, and it starts now. You know, you want them to develop good habits while they're young so they don't stray away from it when they become older. I promised myself when I was blessed to get to this level, I would always come and give back. And for me, there's nothing better than, you know, just exuding energy. I'm a big kid at heart, and I just love kids. And I think I feed off the energy of the kids, you know, because it's so pure, and there's nothing tainted about it. They're happy, they're excited.
My favorite part of today is the relay. That'd probably be my favorite part because you get a chance to engage with the kids and you see the competitive nature of the kids, so it was a lot of fun.
Just the smiles on the kids' face, they're always so excited to see us. And it's always a humbling experience just to give back anytime you have an opportunity to give back.
And they look up to the Cleveland Browns, and so for them to come out, spend the time and do the things that they do, it just, I think, really enhances everything that we're trying to do, so we so appreciate that.
great to see that the Browns players have really embraced the Give 10 movement this year. And make sure to tune in next week as the giving continues for Thanksgiving with Hoyer, Whitner, and the rest of the team, and lots of turkeys. Gobble, gobble.
If you've been at a game this year or even tailgating, you've probably taken in the sights and sounds of the Cleveland Browns drum line. Well, here's a little peek into the group that gets the crowd pumped up.
Well, from what I understand, a couple of years ago, the Bluecoats got a call that needed to get a little audition put together to start a drumline for the Browns. So they held an open audition. A bunch of guys showed up. They pulled out the best of the best, and here we are. So this is the second year. We had another audition this year, and pretty solid line, representing a lot of different schools of the area and different people.
Normal game day, we're here pretty early. We do some warm-ups, get everything moving. We go to the Muni lot, play for all the tailgates. We have a really good time with that. Just have a blast out there, get every fan involved with the game.
It's really cool because I'm one of the few girls on this Browns drumline, so I really like the fan interaction and playing with them in the Muni lot and having them play on my drums. It's really fun.
Oh man, it's exhilarating. It's a blast having all those people into what you're doing and to all be there supporting the same team together.
Basically, we want to have really groovy songs, and we picked Turn Down for What because everybody loves Turn Down for What. And we also did Harlem Shake because who doesn't like to make crazy videos about Harlem Shake, so.
We like to think of ourselves as the loudest fans in the building since we got microphones and drums.
To be a part of Cleveland and be a part with the Browns, awesome experience.
It's always fun to be at First Energy Stadium, see the drum line bring the beats, see the Browns bring a beat down. And speaking of beat, the pitter-patter of a heart, I think we've got some good news here in the Browns organization.
We do. We would like to say congratulations to punter Spencer Lanning. He recently proposed to his girlfriend, Brittany. And we at the Browns organization wish the happy couple all the best. And we also wish him the best in our Browns Blitz hot seat.
If I had a time machine and could meet anyone, I would pick Abe Lincoln. Because I've read some of the stuff that he's done in his autobiography, and I've always looked up to him and admired that he could stay as calm and collected under fire as he did. If I were a food, I would be a pickle. I guess the reason that would be is because I've always liked pickles. It's always been one of those things that I feel like I could eat a whole jar of them at a single sitting. And I used to always get in trouble for eating them before I would eat dinner when I was little. Favorite place to go in Cleveland are the many restaurants that Cleveland has. I would have to say the Crop is one of my favorite restaurants. And Momocho and Carnicero are also top-notch. My first car was a 2001 Honda Accord 4-door V6 3.0. And I rode it to it. It's 225,000 miles. And I kept getting flack from the security around the stadium. They wouldn't let me through checkpoints because they said a player would no longer drive a 2001 Honda Accord. I could have any teammate as a roommate. It would be Ruben, simply because I think he's one of the most interesting guys in the team, and the more I hang out with him, you sort of learn a little more about him, and he's always got a smile on his face, and it just seems like just a giant adventure.
Spencer Lanning and Ataba Ruben, that sounds like a future remake of the movie Twins right there. A giant adventure indeed, Mr. Lanning, and we'll be back with more Inside the Cleveland Browns right after this. Stay tuned for a Patriotic Fan of the Week.
You know, I jumped out of airplanes and deployed two times and all that, but this adrenaline rush that I got was something, you know, on the same level as that, definitely.
And our junior reporter rapid fires questions and answers with Andrew Hawkins.
What's your favorite Disney movie?
Welcome back to ICB. The salute to service game was full of highs and lows, but one of the most special moments came when Army veteran Bruce Barnes led the team onto the field with Dante Whitner. And here's our fan of the week to tell us all about it.
I was sitting in the tunnel and I'm just trying to think, don't trip, don't trip, don't trip, don't trip. And I didn't trip. You know, to get out there and to see everyone just applaud us and everything was amazing. And, you know, I jumped out of airplanes and deployed two times and all that, but this adrenaline rush that I got was something, you know, on the same level as that, definitely. And it was a memory that I won't forget.
Dante Whitner is the man. I mean, he's a Buckeye, so he's what he said to me was really a lot, and that's what I get a lot from the players. All the players and the owners, they've been very thankful for my service and what us veterans do and what our men and women who are dressed in uniform today are doing. The Browns organization has really opened up their team for me, and you know, they've done a lot for our Wounded Warriors, so I can't be, you know, more humbled and more gracious.
I got goosebumps watching him run the team out onto the field, and that had to be a special moment for Bruce running out there with Dante Whitner, waving the flag, and he certainly is a very deserving man. It's humbling to get to see somebody who's given so much to our country get to have a special moment like that. Well deserved.
You're absolutely right. It was an unbelievable moment, and just one more reason to remind you to get to the game before kickoff.
You can definitely miss out on a lot of pregame, and someone who didn't miss out on anything is our junior reporter, Nick. He had some rapid-fire questions to ask one of our wide receivers, in fact, our leading wide receiver, Mr. Andrew Hawkins, and luckily, Baby Hawk had the answers, and he had them quickly.
Who's your favorite player in Cleveland Browns, and why?
Myself, of course, because you got to believe in yourself.
What's your favorite food?
Spaghetti, because I love Italian food.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
A general manager.
Why?
Because I think it's cool to make all the decisions for your team.
What's your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject was history.
What's the best advice that your parents gave you?
Believe in yourself and trust God.
What's your favorite video game?
My favorite video game is FIFA.
If you could have any pet, what would it be?
A cheetah, because they're so fast.
What's your favorite Disney movie?
The Lion King.
Have you ever played golf?
I have played golf, but I'm not very good at it.
Are you scared of anything?
Snakes.
What's the grossest thing you can think of?
Snakes.
So I think we've heard that before. Andrew doesn't like snakes. Do you like snakes?
Absolutely not. Anything that can move that fast on land and doesn't have legs, I do not trust. Gives me nightmares. Don't like them at all. Well, on that note, that'll do it for this week, Dog Pound. Make sure to tune in next week for more behind-the-scenes looks at your Cleveland Browns. And don't forget to watch the game on CBS this Sunday at 1.
We bark together, Cleveland.
Roof, roof. Yes, we do. For Sarah Carnes, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns. Have a great night, everybody.